AOPA presents Never Again, true pilot stories from the world of general aviation. In this episode, time passes slowly at 6,000 feet in a Velocity with a struggling engine. Find out what happens in Just a Few Miles More by Tony Rizzo. I was returning to Frederick, Maryland from Winter Haven, Florida. My Velocity's Lycoming IO-360 had been unusually hard to start in Winter Haven, almost causing me to miss my IFR departure window. After a quick break in fuel and Waycross, the Velocity was again very hard to start. Approximately halfway between Waycross and Lumberton, North Carolina, the engine shuddered and then returned to normal. Scanning the instruments, I found no variances. The engine then began a vibration that was anything but normal. A 90-degree turn would put me on a direct line for Columbia, South Carolina. I had stopped there several times in the past. Twice, Eagle Aviation had performed maintenance on my Velocity. The question, however, was whether or not I should put it down sooner than the 30 minutes it would take to get to Columbia Muni. I was at 5,500 feet and getting VFR flight following. I told Center I was deviating and why. I informed Center I was going to try to climb. The airplane got to 6,000 feet and would go no higher. One small airport after another passed below me, and Center pointed them out. As I approached each one, I reevaluated my situation. Should I put it down? The vibration was constant and varied with engine RPM. Had a prop tip been lost? Was there an engine mount issue? Over and over, I thought, the plane is flying, there is a vibration of unknown origin, I've lost EGT on cylinders 1 and 3, I can maintain altitude, it won't climb above 6,000, there is no change in oil pressure, temperature, CHT, or fuel pressure, airspeed has not changed appreciably, here comes another airport landing opportunity. I'm now X minutes closer to Kilo Charlie Alpha Echo, where I know and trust maintenance. If I pass the next 3, then 2, then 1 airports, I'm committed to a road or field if I can't make it to Kilo Charlie Alpha Echo. An unknown airport is far better than a road or field. The plane is flying. Center passed me to Columbia Approach. Velocity 1 Tango Romeo, I understand you are having a problem of some kind. Affirmative, 1 Tango Romeo has a rough engine and power loss. 1 Tango Romeo, how many souls on board and what is your fuel status? Now I, the only soul aboard, knew Approach was running her emergency checklist, whether I had declared an emergency or not. As I got within 5 miles of Columbia, I accepted a descent to 2,500 feet, but did not reduce power to get there. The tower cleared me to land and asked, "Do you want the equipment rolled?" Negative on the equipment, but I'll come in a little faster than usual, as I do not want to reduce power until the last moment. I greased it on and made the first turnoff. There was no equipment, and the tower had not mentioned any smoke or flames. Nonetheless, I got out of the airplane at Eagle, expecting to see the worst. I was surprised to find no external evidence of any kind when looking at my pusher prop and cowling. I had the cowling off by the time the A&P arrived. The air intake to cylinder 1 was no longer attached to the engine. The bolts were in the bottom of the cowling, both washers were missing, and there were nicks in 2 of the 3 prop blades directly in line with the exhaust. Oil was everywhere. The Garlock seal on the vacuum pump was leaking oil, and that seemed to be the primary source of the mess. Sunday became Monday, then Tuesday, as damage was found and repaired. Finally, Tuesday afternoon, the A&P and I pushed my Velocity out to start it up. It would not start. We pulled it back into the hangar and checked the compression on all of the cylinders. Number 3 had no compression. I flew commercially back to Frederick. The following week was filled with phone calls and emailed pictures. Cylinder 3's intake valve had lost approximately 1/3 of its face. Over the next 2 months, I approved replacement of the cylinder, a Magneto, the Venturi, and ultimately spent 15% of the airplane's value repairing the damage. Was all of this damage caused by my decision to fly 30 minutes to Columbia instead of taking the nearest airport? The left wing was pulled to replace the cylinder. Pulling the wing exposed some fiberglass delamination of the main spar. So, with Velocity factory approval, after picking my airplane up from Eagle, I flew it to its birthplace in Sebastian, Florida for that repair. I had spent the preceding 2 months reliving the decisions of that flight. Was it both safe and smart to try to get to a service facility I knew and trusted, believing I would land sooner if there was any change in an engine parameter? That was what I decided during the flight. But would I have really landed if the temperatures or pressures had changed? I believe I would have, but that decision goes untested. A Velocity is a pusher. It is impossible to see the engine from the cockpit. Unlike a tractor configuration, understanding what is happening in the engine comes from instrument interpretation, with no help from direct observation. Was I trailing smoke? Was I on fire? The ailerons and rudders cables run through the engine compartment. A fire would have caused me to lose control. Did I make the right decision? The gross evidence is conflicting. I did maintain altitude and land safely on two cylinders, but did not definitively know what was wrong during the last 30 minutes of flight. My decision to continue to Columbia probably resulted in increased damage, but Eagle's master A&P found the main spar delamination, which I strongly suspect would not have been found by someone less skilled and experienced. After later installing a JPI EDM 800 engine monitor, I finally understood why cylinder 3's intake valve broke. On climbout during the after-installation test flight, cylinder 3, followed by 2, and then all 4 went over redline CHT. In fact, this clearly incorrect engine monitor said those cylinders were running at 550 degrees Fahrenheit. Only cylinder 1 was cool. It indicated 350 degrees. A call to Velocity revealed I had the original cooling system, one that had been shown to be ineffective. After installing a new cooling system, the JPI reported all cylinders well in the green. At the time of the incident, my CHT gauge only measured the temperature on cylinder 1. Because I was monitoring only one CHT, coincidentally the engine's coolest cylinder, I had been unknowingly cooking my engine. I'm not sure if I'm a better aviator because of this experience, or in spite of it. The best I can say is that I thought the situation through based on the evidence at hand, made a decision, had a backup plan ready to execute, and ultimately had a good outcome. I guess that must mean something. The Never Again Podcast is brought to you by AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and by AOPA Pilot Magazine. You can read more Never Again stories online at aopa.org/neveragain. While you're there, you can also join online discussions, check out AOPA's online flight planner, and take interactive online courses from the Air Safety Institute. All of this and more at aopa.org. The Never Again Podcast is produced by Royce Earle. Thanks for listening. Fly safely.